throwback here with the Welcome to My House open.
I know.
We haven't heard in a long time. Only three, including this one, two more after this show. Gio and Joan shows together before it ends and we go our separate ways. So Brian will be back here tomorrow, and then we'll have a final show on the 29th, and yep, that'll be it after today. So we're dusting off some of the old favorites. I still cannot believe that there were listeners out there, several of them, that thought the song you just heard, Welcome to My House, was sung by Brian Jones. I really didn't like that when people
thought
that.
You didn't like it?
I didn't like when people thought that.
Why?
It was insulting to me.
Why is it insulting?
Because it would diminish my role. People would think that you would actually go in and record a song called Welcome to My House. Made me feel like less a part of the show. That's why. It's a total.
I'm sorry.
It's a total ego thing, is what it is. I'll admit it.
Welcome to our house.
If it was Welcome to Our House, it'd be fine. But the fact that people thought that you were that important to the program, more important to me,
that you would go, more important than me.
You would go into a studio, record a song, Welcome to My House, that we would play. That to me was a little bit insulting. Got to be honest with you. And you're probably gone now, aren't you? And you dropped. See, this is why it's not Brian's house. Moments like this. All right. So, Brian's down in Miami. And much like my situation in Pittsburgh a couple weeks ago, we're having issues with the connection, which tends to happen when we try to do this. So it's happening again. We will get Brian back. For how long? I don't know. Your guess is as good as mine. So we will move on to this unbelievable story. I believe he's back. Was that an uck from you? Was that uck? Hello? He's not there. Put him down because he might curse. All right. So he can't hear us yet. We could hear him. He couldn't hear us. And you know, that is a recipe for total disaster, where he's on the air but doesn't know he's on the air. That is a recipe for total disaster. So what we'll do here is we'll move on to this Jerry Richardson story, and then hopefully we'll connect Brian again. So the last couple of months have been filled with repulsive and disgusting tales of rich and powerful men preying on women in ways that I honestly did not think existed at this scale. And I'm not saying I'm so naive that I didn't think any of this stuff was going on. Sure, stuff goes on. There's no doubt about it. Sexual harassment in workplaces, we're forced to do our own little, I guess, video test that they send us. The company sends us a sexual harassment training video, if you will, anti-sexual harassment training video. And we have to go through it, these situations at work, why it's perceived this way, how to avoid these situations, you know, things like that. So, of course, I know it's an issue. I didn't understand that powerful people would be this repulsive. And this many of them. And some are on a larger scale than others, that's for sure. And the theme that continues to come up are rich and powerful, famous people who prey on those that work with or for them. So they can't do these things that they want to do to strangers. They can't do them at home for whatever reason. But because they are revered in a particular situation, they decide to prey on people that have to be there at work. And since they're the important person, they feel like they can get away with it. The latest of these is Jerry Richardson, owner of the Carolina Panthers, a very high-profile owner at that. And the stories coming out here are just remarkable. So SI does a detailed piece on Richardson. One of the things that would happen at the Panthers facility when Richardson was there at the team offices, he would have jeans day on Friday. Friday is jeans day. So everybody would wear denim jeans to work. The female, this I'm reading now from the SI article, and Brian is back. So I'm reading about Jeans Day now, Brian.
Now,
okay?
Are you familiar with Jeans Day? I know that's maybe that's just a Southern thing, but we would have Jeans Day at certain places I've worked before.
I have never heard of Jeans Day before.
Okay.
So I've heard casual Fridays. I've heard it called casual Fridays, but never Jeans Day. All right, gotcha. So the female employees knew what that meant. Jerry Richardson would make his rounds to the spacious on the way to his spacious office. He would ask women to turn around so he could admire their backsides. Then, in his rolling Southern drawl, he'd offer comment, drawing from a store of one-liners he'd recycle each week. Among those in heaviest rotation, "Show me how you wiggle to get those jeans up. I bet you had to lay down on your bed to fit into those jeans. Did you step into those jeans, or did you have to jump into them?" Panthers employees considered this sexual harassment to be non-threatening. It was treated as something of a running office joke, according to the report. Richardson, who was reportedly called simply Mr. by his employees, also received a complaint for using an unidentified racial slur at an African-American scout, SI says. Okay, so we can chew on that. Here's another detail before we break it all down. He had a special interest in female grooming. He would notice when their nails were not up to standards and pay for them to get manicures. Multiple female employees recalled to SI that Richardson asked them if he could personally shave their legs. He would also do the seatbelt maneuver. This is another interesting one. So he would invite female employees out to lunch, and in keeping with his reputation as a self-styled gentleman, he would open the car door for his guests. Once they were seated, however, he would insist on fastening their seatbelt for them, reaching across their lap and brushing his hand across their breasts before pulling the belt in the clasp. He also had a female employee rub his feet, give him a foot massage, and he would give back rubs that lingered too long or went too low down the spine, end quote. So we heard that Richardson yesterday decided that he was going to sell the team, shockingly enough, sarcastically. So it's another example, as you were gone in ISDN hell, it's another example of a powerful person who decides that his pool of victims is going to come from a place where he is undisputably the most important person in that building because they feel these disgusting, deplorable human beings, that they feel like they can get away with it.
Yeah, it's just amazing that things like these, like this, continues to be unearthed. And never in a million years would you think we'd be talking about Jerry Richardson. I mean, each and every day, I was just having this conversation Saturday with some of the folks on the TV side. I'm like, okay, who is it today? Every day there's somebody. It's just amazing this continues to happen, and this environment in which these folks worked, and they just chalked it up to a creepy old man, or some felt like it was non-threatening, but there were others where it was threatening, and it should not have occurred. And why would Jerry Richardson, his right mind, think that this was okay? You want to say those things, was just boys together? Okay, I get that. But to voice that in public and earshot of these women, amazing. And to have them turn around so he could eyeball them and then make those comments, it's just unbelievable. And you know, you question why people would stay in that work environment. Well, help. You got families to feed. You got to feed yourself. And sometimes you put up with things that are as disgusting as this because you have nowhere else to turn to or no other job to go to. And so it just it's baffling that Jerry Richardson thought that this would be okay, and now he's going to put the team up for sale. It's just sickening. another sickening episode that we have to deal with and try to make sense of.
Yeah, I mean, men clearly are pigs, right? I mean, we can be the worst. There's no doubt about it. And I'm not going to say that my thoughts are any better than anybody else's thoughts. I mean, I'm just like any other prehistoric thinking man when it comes to, you think things, right? But to act out in this type of manner, I mean, there has to be a governor. There has to be something that says that I can't do this to these people.
Yes.
I mean, I just, and everybody has, I'm trying to be as open and honest and not just, crushing every one of these that comes up. But, everybody has their needs when it comes to things. Right? But to take those things, to put employees in tough situations like that, it's just so unbelievably disgusting. Like, you think about, the Hugh Freeze thing, right? And then trying to compare these things is very difficult. But, right. The Hugh Freeze thing, the reason that angered me is because he was a phony religious guy, right?
Right.
But,
right.
He was engaging in something with somebody who was being paid. It's illegal, right? But being paid for that, right? Yeah. So as bad as that is to be a phony religious guy and whatever, I almost give him more credit than walking around the office doing the seatbelt maneuver. You know?
I'd never heard of that.
Or getting massage by some woman who's got a career. Yeah, you know? Why are you preying on these poor innocent people?
Yeah. If you want to go elsewhere, and even the coach down here in Miami that was fired, who made the cocaine video, that was threatening to him and his family, but no one else was harmed.
Right.
And that was a personal choice of his. But to have a work environment where it's so uneasy to be present there, that is a totally different animal altogether. And I'm with you. Yes, we have these thoughts. Hey, this just in. Men, we have these crazy thoughts. We don't seem too crazy to us, but yes, I've said, I bet you in my own mind and to guys, I bet she had to lay down to get in those jeans. And some jeans I have to lay down to get in. I mean, that's why I had the nickname Tight Balls. But I'm telling you, you don't do that to people in their face. You don't say that to people in your work environment. It's just stupid to do, but he thought he could get away with it because he was sitting up high, looking down low on his employees, and you would have thought someone close to him, someone who could pull him aside and say, boss man, I'm here for you, but you know that's wrong, and at some point it's going to catch up to you. But obviously there was no one that could say that to Jerry Richardson.
Yeah, I really don't understand that mentality. And maybe I never will, because I won't be in a situation where I own a football team or I'm Matt Lauer or I'm whoever this, or Harvey Weinstein, where I'm deciding who does what in their lives, I mean, because that's what Jerry Richardson's doing, and when you have that much power, I guess, people tend to abuse it. And it's really remarkable. And to be honest with you, I am, to take it from a personal note, and I hope I don't sound like the people that I dislike. I don't like when people say, I have daughters, so I'm more offended by this. Stop. But I will say that this is coming at the perfect time for me, that people are speaking up on this, because part of the reason, I'm not going to lie, I wanted a boy over a girl when it came to this baby. I did. I wanted to make sure, for a couple of reasons why. One, my name ends with, of course, you want healthy baby. Everybody has to say that, preface it. I understand that. That's what you want.
Right.
But my name ends with me if I don't have the boy, right? Name. So I wanted to get that out of the way. I didn't want to have to worry about that. Also, the whole, the bond with the father-son thing. All right, you have that.
Yeah.
But I still am deathly afraid of how people treat women.
Yeah.
Deathly afraid. Like when you, Eric Spitz, our program director, sent a couple boys off to college. You send boys off to college, it's like, go get them.
Yep.
Go out there, do your thing, go after the world. You can do whatever you want. You send a girl to college after watching that documentary, that Netflix documentary of a hunting ground.
Yeah.
I mean, you're scared every day.
Right.
Yeah, every day what someone's going to do to him. You know, you have a – I mean, you look at all this crap. You have people that are chasing their dreams, that have careers, that have great jobs, that are being preyed upon by powerful people. So my whole life now, you know, as a father of a daughter, I'm going to be worried about these things because people suck.
Yeah, you know? They do suck.
That's what it comes down to.
And welcome to my world. I have a daughter, and I just remember guys, at least one in particular, he didn't want to – I wanted to invite him to dinner. Just wanted to get to know the guy, but he was definitely afraid of meeting me. He didn't even show up. That was the end of that relationship. Great. Just shows me that he was a true sucker, and she didn't need to be with him anyway. He was afraid to meet me. And so, I should tell you now, get your scatter gun because you're going to need it. And it is much more difficult to raise a daughter than it is a dude in this society. And now we know why, because you have all those creeps out there that hold a lot of power in their hands, and they leverage that power in sickening, maddening ways.
Yeah. So just – the latest one to pivot off of the disgustingness and bring in something somewhat interesting that came out of this story. Apparently, Sean P. Diddy Combs tweeted out last night that he wants to buy the Panthers. So that would be an interesting NFL owner. See him sitting at the table. I would love it. Bob Kraft, Jerry Jones, Mark Davis, and...
Yep.
P. Diddy.
Come on. I'd rather see P. Diddy than Mark Davis. Simple Jack.
Yeah, it's true.
That'd be very cool.
It would
be a little bit more diversity.
Yeah, it would be great if he was there.
See, he and Jay-Z should get together, man. Be co-owners.
Yeah, I mean, Jay-Z, well, he would have to. I'm so confused by his businesses. So he gave up his stake in the Nets because he was running the agency.
Right.
So he would have to give the conflict of interest. So he would have to give up that then to be able to have a piece of an NFL team.
Yeah, I believe so. But both of these guys have massive business skills from the clothing industry and a multitude of other products that they have built from ground up and done wonderful work outside of the music business. And I know P. Diddy has didn't he change his name? I thought he had a new name.
Nah, I don't know. Who knows?
Hard to keep up with him. Brother or something, I think it was. But
Brother Love?
Maybe it was
something ridiculous. I don't remember.
Yeah.
Who cares?
But he has Revolt, which is a television entity. And, of course, Ciroc is vodka and the clothing company, Sean John. So been very successful.
All right. Coming up next, a Geo and Jones trivia question. We have one every day as we are coming to a close on the program. And also, a couple of guys on the same team, on the same defense after the game, fighting with one another, but not to each other's face. We'll explain next.
Give us a call right now. 855-212-4CBS.
Because we only have a couple shows left together, Mikey B., our producer, has been giving us Geo and Jones trivia questions every day. Mostly, they've been very difficult, and we've had a hard time trying to figure them out. This morning when I saw this one, I knew right away. The answer.
Really?
Knew it right away. So, Brian, have you seen the question yet?
I have seen it.
Okay. Do you know what it is right away?
Mm-mm.
Okay, good. So, Pete, please hit the music. I will lay out of this one for the time being.
Oh, I know who it is.
All right, well, damn, you just took all the suspense out of it.
I looked at it again. I saw it and I glanced at it earlier because, you know, we're rushing to get in here and had the ISDN issue and all that. I think I know who it is.
Okay. Well, Mike, go ahead and ask a question. Your microphone isn't working. So to add to the amazingness of this morning.
Hello.
There you are, Mike.
There's a button right next to you, Mike.
I hate you. Who is the only Geo and Jones guest to be interviewed on the phone, in studio, and at the Super Bowl?
All right, yep. So on the phone, in our studio here in New York, and at the Super Bowl. Bogus, do you know this?
I do not.
You don't know it? All right, so somebody can play. All right.
Yes.
So before we have our guesses, because I think we know.
Right.
We'll give Bogish a little bit of time to contemplate this, because it wouldn't be fun if we just blurted out the answer.
No.
Brian Billick.
Brian Billick.
Carl Malone.
Brian Billick keep coming up.
No.
Brian Billick's never been on the show, has he?
Never been on the show.
Jason LaCanfora.
That's a good
guess.
That's
a good guess, yeah.
But no.
No. You really don't know the answer to this?
I don't, no.
You're not just playing along to make me feel better?
And I actually, correct me if I'm wrong, Mike, you thought of the question hoping there was an answer, and there actually was an answer, right?
Correct.
Yeah, so I was there for the inception of this idea.
The wheels turn it.
Right, but I don't know the answer.
Wow.
So easy, man.
It really is an easy one.
That Tiki Barber. I don't know.
No, just got a...
This person's been talked about
be
a lot recently.
Yeah, you're going to see a lot of
Bart Scott.
There it is.
There it is.
Yep, yes. Bart
that
Scott.
That was too easy.
Yeah, it was too easy.
I'll ramp it up.
Yeah, Mike, that was too easy.
Do you have another one for today or no?
No, that was it.
I might have to think.
Dude?
See if I can think of one. See if I can get you. Is it possible to get Mikey B with a Geo and Jones trivia question?
Oh, I'm sure it's possible.
There's Bart Scott's phone, which somehow was a fungal bat.
Fungo?
Hitting fly
that
balls.
That is the weirdest sound ever.
Yep.
From a phone. That's when you know you're being spied upon, right?
That's so right. Yeah. That had to have been. I mean, I've never heard that in all the conversations on cell phones, that particular sound.
Oh, no. Even the ISDN line when it's dropping here this morning didn't make that noise.
It's so distinct, too.
Oh.
Yeah, we had more fun with Bart Scott's phone than we had with Bart Scott himself during those.
Correct. Should we lend them that bit for the afternoon show?
No.
No? Okay.
I don't want to. Yeah, so I hear your cell phone sucks. Look, where do you go from there?
I have a trivia question for me, Mike, and Pete.
Okay.
Sinking boat. We could only save one, Greg or Brian.
You can't do that.
Mike, to you.
Oh, that's... Well, we know that.
I'd figure out a way to fix the boat and save them both.
What?
Probably wouldn't be able to fix the boat and we'd all drown.
The boat was probably sinking in the first place because of you.
Yeah. I'm confident what Mike would say. Pete's up in the air. Bogish also up in the air. Mike would definitely save me. Pete, I don't know. It depends on how much money was involved.
Like he'd that right.
He would ask, who can give me the most money to save your life?
And, I'll go with Brian then.
Yeah, so then he would probably be Brian. Yeah,
crossing party lines for money.
Right.
Interesting.
You'd probably do that. Yeah, for now, it's Brian. And then Bogish, I'm not sure.
I would, of course, save you. Are you going to be a father?
Well, Brian's already a father.
Already a father.
Yeah. Is Brian He's there or did the ISDN drop again? There's your answer. Everybody say me now.
Yeah, definitely Greg.
Oh, Greg, for sure. Who cares about Brian?
Brian drowned.
He just did.
Sink, baby.
Greg is the most talented one of the group.
You wanted to say, do it now.
I bet Greg would at least have two sacks had he played that many games in the NFL.
Maybe even three.
Right.
What unbelievable timing was that?
He was too quiet.
I know. How am I the only one that picked up on that, too? He wasn't talking. Oh, jeez.
Bet your stepping back would have been much better if Greg was in it.
There you go, Pete. Yeah. Just let him keep him flying now because he can't hear you.
It would have been in an actual movie theater had it started Greg.
Okay, I got to get a hold of myself. That was just... Because that's funnier to me than it is to most people. Because it's just so radio. Is it not just so radio? You're asking this question to make us both uncomfortable. Who's going to drown? And Brian's ISDN drops in the middle of it. All right, Bogish, you got an update for us?
I do. The go-ahead TD was taken off the board, but the Steelers still had a chance to pass the Patriots again.
Third and goal to go from the six. Roethlisberger under center, drops back. He pumps. He throws toward the middle. It's back incomplete. Intercepted by Harmon. Deflection to Harmon. An interception of the end zone. The Patriots. Patriots are going to win in Pittsburgh.
Bob Soucy and Scott Zolak on Patriots Radio. Instead of spiking the ball and kicking a tying field goal, Ben Roethlisberger went for the win. His pass tipped and picked by Daron Harmon for a 27-24 New England W. As you'd expect, Bill Belichick ecstatic after the victory.
Steelers made a lot of plays. You know, we made some plays. Luckily, we made one more than they did.
The Pats clinched their ninth straight AFC East crown, and they jump back ahead of the Steelers atop the conference. Pittsburgh receiver Antonio Brown reportedly dealing with a partially torn left calf. He's expected to return for the postseason. The Cowboys sneaking out of Oakland with a 2017 win on Sunday Night Football, thanks to that index card, which gave the Cowboys a first down, which led to Dan Bailey's tie-breaking field goal with 1:44 to go. Dallas is a half game behind the Falcons for the second NFC wildcard, but currently losing a three-way tie with Detroit and Seattle. As divisions were won and playoff spots secured yesterday, the Jets were officially eliminated from postseason contention, but head coach Todd Bowles don't care.
They're going to keep fighting. Obviously, this is going to turn. I believe we have a good core group. We just got to eliminate some of the mistakes and some of the situational football things, and we're going to be okay.
When? They have two games left in the season, and he's probably going to be fired.
And I don't know. Is he going to be fired?
Maybe.
I actually think that it's amazing how losing that game yesterday, I think, helped Todd Bowles' chances of retaining that job. Because it was closer than it should have been.
Right.
It's just amazing. Isn't this so Jets? Like, they exceed expectations, but they're going to finish 5-11.
Right.
And that's going to keep a guy's job.
Because they were 5.5 and 10.5, if you want to count the near win in New Orleans yesterday. The first place Saints within 5 in the fourth quarter.
Amazing.
Is Brian back yet, or should I save my Texas joke for the next update?
Save it for the next update.
All right. The Vikings hammered the Bengals 34-7 to win the NFC North. The Jaguars go into the postseason for the first time in a decade after pounding the Texans 45-7. And the Eagles got four touchdown passes from Nick Foles for a 34-29 win at the Giants. That clinches a first-round bye. Four triple-doubles in five games now for LeBron James. 25 points, 12 rebounds, 15 assists in a 106-99 win in Washington. The Cavaliers have won 18 of 19. The Chicago Blackhawks with their fifth straight win, 4-1 over the Wild. And QB Justin Fields, the number one high school recruit this year, will officially sign with Georgia on Wednesday. Texas A&M, Florida, and Florida State all try to get Fields to back out of his verbal commitment to those Bulldogs. As Greg, the college football expert, knows so well.
Yeah, naturally. So Rondé Barber is really scared to say pussyfoot. He stopped himself.
Smart.
In the why? I mean, you could say pussyfooting around. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, it's dangerous.
Why is it dangerous?
It's just dangerous because you can take a misstep and get in a very bad spot.
But the thing is, when he tried stopping it, it sounded worse than it should have been.
That is the issue.
Right.
Yeah.
So this is not great quality because someone recorded off the TV. Of course, this was not going to be posted online anywhere. Like, Fox Sports wasn't going to put that up on their Twitter account. Well, let's listen to Rondé Barber stopping himself because he's afraid of pussyfooting.
I love his toughness. You know, he's not one of those corners that's going to sit outside, you know, kind of pussy, you know, maybe handle and not try to come up and tackle.
Yeah.
Come on, Rondé, just say it. He can say the thing. It's fine. And that was a go-to phrase for my high school football coaches. He would always say, "Just quit pussyfooting around and get up in there." That's what he would say. You know, and he stopped himself. So, oh, well. I mean, I guess.
Yeah, that got worse.
Yeah, it did. It got worse. You just go for it. It's amazing what they allow on television these days, too. I was telling these guys, you know, I'm a big Family Feud fan.
Okay.
So they had the question they had, the last one I saw, and this wasn't on like the Game Show Network. This was on actual Channel 9 in New York. So the question was, name a body part that starts with the letter T. And the woman says the slang for breasts that starts with T.
Yeah.
And they let it go. And then
excuse me?
And then Steve said it. Yeah, Brian. And then Steve said it. And then he said it again.
Are
when
you
he pointed up to the board. Yeah. I was like shocked.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I called my wife into the room like, look at this. They're letting that go.
What do they mean?
I mean, I was totally shocked.
Well, I was watching, as you know, I'm a big Bravo fan.
Yeah.
And I was watching Below Deck.
Oh, yeah. I've seen every. That's the one reality show that I'll watch with my wife every single time. Yeah.
So I was watching one of those like reunion shows, and they played a clip of a girl arguing with another girl, and then they do those like, you know, the separate one-on-one interviews. So she's responding to this fight and reacting to it, and she actually puts up double middle fingers to the camera.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, that's allowed?
Yeah, I know. I guess so. These days it is. It is allowed these days. It's amazing what you get away with.
Seriously.
So the moral of the story, Rondé Barber, is
just let it go.
Let it fly. Someone will be there to catch you. I think Pete Bellotti has a dump button from his house just to protect everybody. He can dump anything he wants.
It's a life dump button.
I do, yes.
Yeah, all right. Well, coming up next, we will reconnect with Brian Jones and talk about Hugh Jackson's future, because there's no more hot coaching candidate than a guy who can't win a game, right? We're coming right back.
Greg Giannotti, Brian Jones on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Welcome back, Brian. Welcome back, man. Hey, what's up, buddy?
Dude, I want you to know I wasn't just sitting here waiting for the line to come back and reconnect with you. I actually went and did some radio with WQAM. Oh. So I was actually working while they were trying to fix this.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm bouncing back and forth.
What did you say? Were you actually doing a real interview or just talking about how things weren't working on?
We were talking about that, but all the times I've come down here over the last 3 years, over the last year and a half, I should say, we've never had any problems like this. This is the first time we've experienced this, so I was telling the guys it's okay because they are apologizing profusely over it. I was like, no, it's fine. You're always accommodating. We've never had any issues, and it's fitting that we have issues the last time I do a show from remote, so no need to apologize, but we were actually discussing the Jerry Richardson deal and the tight jeans and all that good stuff and how demoralizing that had to have been to be working in that environment and basically saying the same thing that you and I just discussed, that you can think these things, and men, we do, and even women think certain things like that, but you just don't say it out loud, and especially not to colleagues or employees of your at your business.
All right, so the two things I want to touch on this this segment, we didn't get to the Seahawks thing. I want to get to that.
Wait,
too.
Hold on. Who did Mikey B say he was going to save? He's going to allow me to drown, right, and save you?
No. It was unbelievable. I mean, after the line dropped, the support for you was overwhelming. I'm actually now in a bad mood because of it.
You lied so horrible.
It was, you know, it was all about saving Brian. We need Brian. And like, I've been sitting in the studio this entire time. I haven't spoken.
Stop lying.
So
you can head to geoandjones.com/audio Brian to listen.
So yeah, listen back to it and see how disappointing it was for me.
Okay.
it was a remarkable time for you to drop the line, though. I mean, it was amazing. Talking about one of us drowning and then all of a sudden you weren't there. Okay. So Hugh Jackson, now that Marvin Lewis has decided to finally let go of that job and give someone else a shot, even though it's not his fault, I would stay there as long as the owner wanted me to as well. And it probably is a firing more than it is a stepping aside, as they're calling it. But Marvin Lewis is going to be done in Cincinnati at the end of the year. So the first name that is out there is Hugh Jackson. Hugh Jackson had success there as a coordinator. Hugh Jackson was an assistant head coach. Hugh Jackson's now in Cleveland. He probably wants to get out of there. Like, I understand the connection, but why are we giving him any credit? Why? This guy, you got to think that in these close games that they've played, that they should have won at least a few more. And the Browns have had some bad teams over this stretch. But one game in 2 years, and you're still going to give this guy a promotion? Hugh Jackson being the top choice for the Bengals is laughable. And the fact that Hugh Jackson got a pass with you know, Sashi Brown getting hammered and getting out of there, and Hugh Jackson's like the bell of the ball with one win in 2 years is mind-boggling to me.
Well, the offense spiked, and the play of the offense, it trend towards being respectable and more so, and he was able to get Andy Dalton to play at a very high level, and so they remember that, and I could see why he would be on the list. But you're right. You look at his track record now with the Cleveland Browns, and a lot of people can say their track record wasn't stellar, wasn't even remotely close to being good there with the Cleveland Browns, and you would wonder why he'd be front of mind for anyone looking for a new head coach. But that being said, they had a rapport with him, they know his work, and they appreciated his work, and he's going to be in line.
Yeah, don't you think, though, when a guy gets an opportunity with any franchise in the NFL and you're that bad, that should at least eliminate you for the time being? Now, you want to tell me that Hugh Jackson, like, I would totally get it. Imagine this was college football for a second, and a guy goes to a lesser program, you know, leaves a coordinator, goes to a lesser program, mm-hmm. and then in this rebuild that you're supposed to have in the first 2 years, only wins one football game,
yeah.
and then goes back to the place that he left to be the head coach there. The closest thing that I can come to, actually, is a personal experience of mine. People are probably sick of me bringing this up. You know, Paul Christ went to Pittsburgh, only had 2 6-6 seasons, and then ended up going back to Wisconsin as the head coach.
Yeah.
Now, 6-6 seasons, when there were, like, a carousel of coaches there, and to hold that program together, and they went into Notre Dame when Notre Dame was number one that year and should have won that game and missed, like, a 27-yard field goal that would have ended up winning the game for him, and there should have been a penalty called. Like, I'm just, he had some moments there, right?
Right.
He had some moments,
yeah.
and then he went back to Wisconsin. What's Hugh Jackson's moment? Does he have a moment?
Well, he has moments. As I said, that offense played damn well when he was ahead of it. He got Andy Dalton to play well, and Dalton then got a new contract because of that. So, and Paul Chris, similar. He was at Wisconsin. They knew him. They knew his work. He had a good relationship with Barry Alvarez, and he knew how Barry Alvarez wanted to run things. So that's why they went and got Paul Chris once that job became open when Bielema went to Arkansas. So it's a similar situation there with Cincinnati. Between Hugh Jackson. Hugh Jackson comes back to Cincinnati, and the offense takes off, and they know him, they know his work, and that's why he would be in line to get the job.
Yeah, he hasn't had any success. There's been no success at all as a head coach. I mean, the most success he had was an 8-8 season with the Raiders, and he shouldn't have gotten fired from that job. He should be fired from this job. So, whatever. All right, Earl Thomas and Bobby Wagner, you know, they get into this whole thing after the game. So, first of all, I mean, to see the destruction of the Seahawks and their building like that, it's just shocking. And I thought that was going to be a high-scoring game. Obviously, the Rams held up their end of the bargain, and the Seahawks did not. But after the game, this just shows you what type of hell that they're in on that defense right now. So after the game, Earl Thomas basically says that Bobby Wagner probably shouldn't have played with his hamstring injury. So he said that the backups, quote, the backups would have done just as good. And he said when he's talking about B-dubs, B-dubs goes sideline to sideline, and B-dubs couldn't do that because of his hamstring, and that cost them. So then Bobby Wagner hears about this, and of course, instead of Earl Thomas not bringing this up to reporters or taking the high road and talking to Bobby Wagner about it afterwards, instead of Bobby Wagner hearing this and going to Earl Thomas directly and having a conversation, Bobby Wagner goes to Twitter, because that's the way to go, right? Like, don't go to a friend to talk about it. Don't go to a coach to talk about it. Don't go to Bobby Wagner himself. But go to Twitter to talk about it, right? Why not? He goes, E, keep my name out your mouth. Stop being jealous of other people's success.
Yeah.
I still hope you keep balling, bro.
Guys, I don't get that response, and that was some bad English. But let me bring you some more, because this is what Earl Thomas said. I think guys that played, you've got to give your hats off to Wags and a couple guys that played. But my personal opinion, I don't think they should have played. I think the backups would have did just as good. But the injuries, Cam, Sherm, KJ, they definitely hurt today. And I thought he was complimenting B-Wags for playing, Bobby Wagner, for one, playing with that injury, something he's been dealing with for a couple of weeks. And the fact that he said he's a sideline-to-sideline guy, that's a compliment to Bobby Wagner, the way he plays, and he wasn't able to do that, clearly, in yesterday's ball game. So I don't understand why Bobby Wagner was so upset. And then to throw out that you're jealous of other – don't be jealous of other people's success, really? Why would one – would Earl Thomas, who's a success in his own right, one of the better safeties in all of the game, be jealous of someone else's success? And why would Bobby Wagner take it as such unless there's something else – underneath all of this, there's a backstory or a history here. I was just perplexed with the response from Bobby Wagner.
Yeah, I don't understand why Bobby Wagner would ever think that Earl Thomas was jealous of him, and that's right. That fueled his opinion of this.
How would you take that as a shot at you? The guy was complimenting you. You're out there playing hurt. He's saying you probably shouldn't have been out there. Why is that a negative? I don't see why he took that as a pejorative.
Yeah, just disgusting performance by the Seahawks all around.
They got their butts whipped, man. I thought the Rams would win that ball game, and they couldn't protect my man Russell Wilson and Aaron Donald. Three sacks, probably should have had four more, and the team with seven sacks on the afternoon. They just whipped up on the Seahawks, and defensively, nothing there. Todd Gurley, a season high, 150, 160 yards rushing. They just whipped him.
Yeah, Russell Wilson could not play against the Rams. He's not Russell Wilson against the Rams. That's the one team that gives him problems, you know. Yeah. And I thought that this would be different. I thought that this game would be different, and I thought they'd be going back and forth, and it was just one way. And how about this? This loss was the worst of the Pete Carroll era. It was the most points allowed in a game in the Carroll era. It was the worst home loss since week one, 1997, 41-3 against the Jets. And worst loss since week 16, 2009, 48-10 at Green Bay.
You lose that many key guys on that side of the ball, you're going to have what you had there yesterday afternoon.
Where was the offense, though? I mean, that Rams defense usually gets torn up.
Offense. They haven't had. They've been a one-trick pony. It's been all Russell Wilson this season. They can run the ball. It's been all about the pass. And that offensive line couldn't hold up against that pass rush. And I said so Friday. I think that's maybe the only game I got right. You got Quinn who had come in with sacks, at least one in the last four games. Aaron Donald the same, at least one sack in the last four ball games. I didn't think they would be able to hold up against Aaron Donald and that defense, and they weren't able to.
Yeah, and I think you went 1-1-1. I think you pushed a game.
Well, great. How'd you do?
1-2 again. I'm not doing well. Oh. But you didn't gain any ground because it's only wins we're worried about.
It sucks.
1-1-1. Mm. Yeah, I believe so. That's what I think I remember seeing last night. Listen,
that offensive line has been woeful, and they have tried to go on the cheap as far as that O-line and trading other guys, and they're going to have to spend money on it from
Steelers,
here on out.
The Steelers, you ended up pushing that game.
Dang it.
Right now, and... Oh, wait, no, you didn't have the Steelers. That was Coop. I apologize. No, I think you actually might have gone 2-1.
Oh, there you go. Give me my 2-1.
All right, we'll talk about this later. Jason Lock on 4 next. Geo and Jones, CBS Sports Radio.